Before we go into part two, I just want to share with you something from the files. Man was flying from Seattle to San Francisco, only in America. Unexpectedly, the plane stopped in Sacramento along the way. The flight attendant explained that there would be a delay, and if the passengers wanted to get off the aircraft, the plane would reboard in 50 minutes. Everybody got off the plane except one gentleman who was blind. The man had noticed him as he walked by and could tell the gentleman was blind because his seeing eye dog lay quietly underneath the seats in front of him throughout the entire flight. He could also tell he had flown this very flight before because the pilot had approached him and called him by name and said, "Bill, we're in Sacramento for almost an hour. Would you like to get off and stretch your legs?" The blind man replied, "No thanks, but maybe my dog would like to stretch his legs." So picture this. All the people in the gate area came to a complete standstill when they looked up and saw the pilot walk off the plane with a seeing eye dog. The pilot was even wearing sunglasses. People scattered. They not only tried to change planes, but they were trying to change the airlines. Things are not always as they appear. I thought that wasn't bad. I could imagine that. Well, as you've caught, we are continuing. Really, this will be the last time for the moment to talk about this amazing, amazing bird, the eagle. And I thank Charlotte and your team. Bless you as you go. Eleanor read to us from Deuteronomy 32, and that's really the text for the day. And I'd like to read that again from the translation called The Voice. The Eternal found Jacob out in the wilderness. This is verse 10. Jacob is reference to the people of God. Found Jacob out in the wilderness, out in an empty, windswept desert wasteland. And he put his arms around him and took care of him. And he protected him as the apple of his eye, because that's what this is really about. Just as an eagle stirs up its nest, encouraging its young to fly, and then hovers over them in case they may need help, and spreads its wings and catches them if they fall, and carries them on high on its wings. So the Eternal guided Jacob, the people of God, through the wilderness without the help of any foreign god. And he set him on the heights of the land and fed him from the produce of the fields. He even fed him honey from the rocks and oil from flinty stones. Isn't that an incredible passage of God's protection over his people? And he likens this to an eagle. 34 references, at least in the scriptures, to this amazing bird and how so much is likened to that in the Christian life. So the eagle is unique. It mates for life. It will not cohabit with any old chicken or anything. They just hang together as eagles. Most eagles make their nests in high places. Bald eagles have a tendency in America to make their nests in trees, but many go into very, very high places on the cliffs and places where they can see 360 degrees. And those nests, by the way, can be anywhere between 2 and 3 meters. And they are very deep usually, and they can weigh as much as 2 tons. They're interesting nests, and they make them well. But most eagles, they make their nests in these high places, and so when the eagle is hatched, it's already born in a high place. Now, as I make references to this, I just want to ask that the Holy Spirit will give you an antenna to hear what is being said, right? That you'll go, connect with that. already born in a high place. When it first opens its eyes, it's already in a very high place. The mother and father eagle share the building of the nest. You would have seen that on the screen. Imagine that. They had been flying high into the cliffs, down into the forest floor, to gather all that they need for the nest. Some of their kills, some of the skins from their kills, also lined the nest. Everything that they put in that nest was really a story of their life. Before the eggs are laid, the mother's story is in the nest. The eaglets don't get to pick their own nest. We don't get to pick the family that we're born in, the circumstances we're born in. We don't get to pick that. Everything we learn from our neighbors, from our friends, our associations, our generation, our political ideas, our spiritual values, everything we get comes from the nest. It shapes us to become the way we are and the way we think. It frames our opinions and how we react to life and circumstances and stuff. Everything comes from the nest. It's all in the nest. The nest determines the value that you place on life. And I tell you, as you consider our world today, there's not a high value on life. But there is a story in the nest. The nest is a safe place. It's a nourishing place. It's a good place. It's a place where parents bring up their young. The nest is a good thing. We shouldn't demonize the nest in any shape or form. It's a good place. But the nest is for a season. You can't stay in the nest. Nest, a comfortable place, cozy place, warm place, a protected place. You know, the eagle uses these thorny big sticks with sharp edges, and that's built there to protect the young. Anything that comes there gets that first. And then it's got these various layers, as Eleanor has shown us. And a very comfortable place in the middle for the chicks. But there comes a time that you see you can't stay in the nest. And there's a message there for us about our cozy life. And that goes for our comfortable Christian experiences. There comes a time, because it's for a season. You can't stay in the nest. You know, in practical terms, there are some... I don't know what the age range is these days, but it sort of goes from about 20 to 45 years old when a lot of kids want to stay in the nest at home. And you can fill in the blanks on that one. Eventually, the parent eagles return to the nest less frequently. They used to bring food every day. Now they come less frequently. And you can imagine those little chicks are wondering, what on earth has happened to Mum and Dad? They've left me alone. And they come less frequently. And they're bewildered and frustrated about this. And hungry. Very hungry. But there's intention in this. This is something that is hardwired into the way eagles deal with their kids. Hardwired into it. And it's the way God deals with his kids also. There's a message in there. So the parents wisely know that without this disruptive thing, this absence for a time, this starting the process of change for them, they will not learn to fly. They will stay in the nest. They'll not understand what's going on. But I believe that for us as Christians, if we're going to be like eagles and to fly in all that God has fulfilled wants for us to be fulfilled, if we're going to do that, we cannot stay in the cozy, comfortable place called the nest. It's not designed for us to be like. You can't fly if you're in the nest. Hello? You can't survive and thrive. So the parent wisely has to train the chicks how to fly. But how they do this is pretty interesting. Going to touch on that. I just want to give you the background, if you like. Moses was delivering his farewell speech to the people of Israel. And just before they were to enter the promised land of Canaan, he was reminding them of all the wonderful things God had done for them. And he compares God's care of them to an eagle caring for its kids. He said, just as an eagle stirs up the nest. Sounds like a weird thing to do, to stir up the nest. But this is what the eagle does. It comes less and less to the nest, and then when it does come, finally, it starts to push its great wings 2 to 3 meters in width out there, and it pushes downward with strength and wind and shuffles all this thing up. And all the feathers fly, and all those prickly things are in the nest. And I tell you what, the chicks don't like sitting on that stuff. Yeah. So the first thing, just to go back a little, the first thing the mother eagle does is to find a good, safe place for her young. She soars into those high places. They build the nest together as a parent, gathers the sticks, sharp pieces, all that kind of stuff. She lays the eggs. Finally, the eggs are laid. Everything is soft and safe. Feeds the babies. And they're plump and they're growing without a worry and a concern in the world. And then just messes the whole thing up. Just messes it up. Their warm and comfortable home has suddenly become a very prickly, awkward, unpleasant place to be. The parent eagle does that very intentionally. If the eagle is going to fly, they've got to have a less comfortable place to stay. I believe that our God, compared to an eagle in this context, sometimes has to do that to his people. Stirs up the nest, messes up our comfort life, so that we can fly. There's a message in there. We've never been this way before. We've never been in this situation. The mother eagle knows exactly what she's doing. But why does she teach them like this? Why that? Because she pushes them out of the nest with the force of her wings, stirs it all up and pushes them out. Well, facing eviction. No longer can you stay there. The nest is a good place to start, but it's not a place you can stay. Sometimes we just stay way, way, way too long in a comfortable place. God loves us too much to leave us there. We were designed to fly, to soar, like an eagle. The only way to help us to fly, sometimes God is to do what an eagle does, to make us question him. Things happen in our lives that make us say, well, God, surely this is not of your doing. Surely it should be better than this. Surely it should be happening in a different way than this. What's going on? What's happening to us? Why are we feeling like we're feeling? Have you noted that every institution on the earth, if you're watching the news, I get my news from Reuters. It has a tendency to be a little more comprehensive and not so biased. But have you noticed that every institution, I don't care what it is, the home, the schools, our businesses, global situation, everything is being stirred up at the moment. Nothing is static. Everything is in a state of dynamic. It's being stirred up. Not just in the comfortable nest of our individual lives, but in nationally and internationally. God is doing something on the earth. He loves us too much to leave us alone. It's a very difficult place to be. Sometimes we stay in the nest way too long. I just want to share with you one illustration for me that was very real. In Napier, as a social worker, we'd spent nearly 12 months working with a young woman, very attractive young woman, 17-year-old Maori girl. She had been in a lot of trouble. She was in an environment in Napier that I could only describe as horrendous. Had a cute little baby boy, and but she was beaten up, she was raped, you just name it. She just went through this time after time, a terrible thing. She was in a remand home in Wellington, and together a bunch of people that cared about her put together, how can we help you? How can we help you get out of that nest and fly? We could see the potential. Spent a ton of time helping her. Got rid of all the tats. Set up an opportunity for her to be interviewed for employment. She aced it. Got the job. Wow, here we go. She's starting to fly. Her home environment was less than ideal. She needed to have a place to live. So we arranged for a young person similar in age who was flatting, and they might just hit it off together. They met, it was a good deal. Everything was arranged. Everything was all set up. And then for the day that she was to move, I checked a couple of days later and nowhere to be found. Couldn't find her anywhere. Took me 2 weeks to track her down, using police methods. Finally tracked her down. And I said, why? How come you're back in this hellhole? She said, that's the only comfortable place I know. The other's too scary. If you ever want to know why people are trapped in their life situation, in their nests, I tell you, that was a lesson to me. That was more comfortable than going out and flying. But so often, we feel trapped, a bit like an eaglet, striving, flapping around, trouble. Our nest is messed with our culture, our church. Everything that we knew that was safe and secure and solid is now being all stirred up. But when the mother eagle stirs up the nest, she doesn't leave the chick to fend for themselves. Nuh-uh. They've had some eagle cams that I checked out. And what they actually do here, and the mother eagle flies in, the father eagle is soaring. They do a lot of that, looking for food and so on. Rabbits, mice, and sometimes try to get bigger stuff like goats, and they'll take on anything. But the mother comes in and does this, stirring up the nest and pushes the eaglets out a little bit, and then drops a wing and they climb up on the wing, and then she takes them high. For the first time in their lives, they're flying on mother's wings. And they go up hundreds of meters above where the nest is, and then she goes like that. And those poor eaglets. It's but like, you know, the old-fashioned way to teach people how to swim in the water. Swim. Sooner or later, your instincts take over. It's called help. And I think the eaglets, so often, and all recorded instances of eaglets that have been thrown out of the nest, they have not found any that have not been rescued by mum or dad. Usually by dad. He is quick. I mean, he's pulling 160... about 4 or 5 G's going really in there and catches the chick just before it falls, takes it back up, does the same again until its instincts take over and that thing starts to fly and then soar all by itself, and then you'll never get it grounded again. There is a message in there. Sometimes that's what God has to do to us, to help us to learn to fly. So, if you're not used to soaring, and it's a comfortable place for you to be at the moment, I think you might be starting to feel there's a little less comfort around you. Some prickles and things going on. The nest is being stirred up. Why is that? God wants us to fly. But he also wants you to know that he's near you. And he's your rescuer. And he's not going to let you fly until your instincts that are God-given and hardwired into you help you to fly. God is like that. And he promises us time and time again. I found two verses in the Psalms. Psalm 91 verse 4 reads like this. Like a bird protecting its young, God will cover you with his feathers, will protect you under his great wings. You know, this is the feminine side of God, if you will. His faithfulness will form a shield around you, a rock-solid wall to protect you. There's some different pictures in there. And Psalm 125, verse 2. Just as the mountains around Jerusalem embrace her, the Eternal, too, wraps around those who belong to him. For this moment and for every moment to come, God is good. He cares for his kids. So, the little birds learn to fly. Their wings are not accustomed to flying. Takes a while for them to get going, and so for us. And I believe that God protects us until we learn to do that. He is their support when their little wings grow tired. He is their courage when their hope is gone. He is their example of how to fly. He supports them when there's nothing else. A man called John Piper wrote this: God will not turn away from doing you good. He will keep on doing good. He doesn't do good to his children sometimes and bad to them at other times. He keeps on doing good, and he will never stop doing good for 10,000 ages of ages. When things are going bad, that does not mean God has stopped being good. It means he is shifting things around to get them in place for more good, if you will go on loving him. I like that. I underline the last little bit for you. It means he's shifting things around to get them in place for more good. The lesson of the nest and the stirring of the nest. I hope you've heard in the midst of these three messages that God is doing something and wants something for our lives that is more. We can stay in the nest, but I tell you what, it's going to get prickly in there. We were not designed to stay in the nest. None of us. We're hardwired to fly and to soar and to be an eagle, which actually rises above all other birds. And last week, we talked about turkeys and an eagle, you know, how to be an eagle in a turkey world. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this time that we've shared. I thank you for your word and examples like this of an amazing creature and how it so applies to us and how it applies to you, Lord, as a metaphor for all that you do and helping us to be the people that you've called us to be, helping us to rise to the destiny that we have. You've given it to us. Lord, there's so much that we have yet to claim, and I pray that you'll cause us as a people, as the people of God, to claim our inheritance, to walk in it, and then to fly. And in Jesus' name I ask that. Amen. Amen. We're not going to sing the last hymn. Thank you for helping me with that. My benediction today is that we might feel very uncomfortable until we fly. Amen. Been good to be together. God bless you. By the way, if you come, and I keep saying this, seek out somebody that you might, you know, if there's things that you need to deal with, things that you want prayer for something, you need healing in some way, you know, seek out somebody, one of us, would love to be with you in that. Meantime, have an exceptionally good week. God bless.